Welcome to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Executive Director of the Federation. With me today is author extraordinaire Leslie Wahl. Leslie, welcome to Lifelines Radio.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on again. It's always a joy to be able to chat with you.
It's wonderful to be with you as well. Leslie, can you tell us what is your latest project?
Yeah, so for the reader, for the listeners, most of my books are, I'm an author, most of my books are for teens. They are adventurous mysteries with faith-based. They're all Catholic ventures. And so I specialize in writing for teenagers. I love to incorporate faith, but also a fun, exciting adventure that, kids want to read, but yet they can also learn some values or have role models that they are able to look up to and emulate.
That's tremendous. And what prompted your newest release that's going to be coming out?
Yeah, so my newest book is just coming out right now is called In Plain Sight. And it is the third in a series of books. The series is called Finding Faith. And each of the three books, the main character is a different teenage girl who has some struggles, often is kind of similar to what teens might be facing nowadays, sometimes a little bit different, but they are having a tough time in their life with whatever's going on. And the story, throughout the story, they kind of find their faith, thus the name of the series, but in different ways by interacting with different people and coming across Bible verses and so forth, so that they kind of realize that their faith and so forth can help them deal with the issues.
Tremendous. And how does this compare with your previous work?
Like I said, they're all, I just love the kind of books I always loved reading had everything kind of all combined together. Some mystery, adventure, humor, faith, romance. So I kind of combine it all in one. The romance is there, but, but at a pure innocent level. But I know a lot of teens, especially teen girls, do kind of like that a little bit. Hopefully, like I always did. So that is part of that. And this book is set in Minnesota in January. So the main character, Emerson, and her father have to move to Minnesota in January, and their dog comes with them. But we don't really know why. It's just them and what something happened in the past that they're kind of getting away from. And the father has an opportunity to renovate an old abandoned lodge at a lake. So Emerson's not very excited to be there, of course, in the middle of January in Minnesota. And so, so she's kind of struggling throughout it, but then she, meets the boy whose family owns this lodge, a teenage boy, and they kind of discover some hidden rooms and some mystery at the lodge. And so as she's, investigating this and meeting some of the other teens, she kind of starts to face her own issues and realize that she's kind of pushed her faith away and that she should, use it and embrace it to get through her past difficulties.
That's just fascinating. How do you weave pro-life themes into your writing?
So they're a little more subtle, just that all life is precious. But this one especially, it's very pro-family and how important family is. And how, I think for teens especially, sometimes we don't really, they become kind of enraptured in their social life and their friends. And, family's kind of there and they don't think much about it. But this book particularly, I think hopefully will make people realize how important their own family is, that their siblings, their parents, their extended family, and just that all life is very precious. And I don't want to give much away as
No,
for
don't give
but
anything
yeah,
away.
that yeah, that's pretty, that's it. So at all stages, life is precious.
That's beautiful. And I would imagine family is very important to you personally, and that comes out in your writing.
Yes, it is. And this, well, all my stories, I include bits and pieces from my family's, mostly our some vacations and things like that, or different instances that were kind of unique or funny, and I kind of weave them into the story. So my children are all grown now, but they have fun kind of reading them and finding some of those moments. And this book, so I said, told you it's set in Minnesota, and we lived there for 8 years. Two of my children were born there, and I loved it. It was beautiful. We made wonderful friends there. But I do really remember those winters were really difficult. And so it was fun to relive that and kind of try to show that in throughout the story, those memories.
Beautiful. And to what extent do you think that writing can change culture?
Well, I do think that the books we read can affect us. And even for me, in my book club, I'll read something and it makes you think about an issue in a different way, or you learn about something you never knew about. And I think I love the idea for teens especially, that they are just bombarded right now with so many issues and things that really don't match up with our faith. And so I just hope that my books can kind of be a little bit of a light for them, that they can see characters who are open to their faith and believe in their faith and pray to God. And so they can use those moments to kind of grow themselves. And it's interesting, I've heard of some families, not just my, so I'm part of a group of authors called Catholic Teen Books. We have our own website, and there's 15 of us. So we all write for Catholic teens. And one thing we try to encourage sometimes is that parents and teens kind of can read the books together, and not necessarily at the same time like you would with a younger child, but kind of a book club type of thing. They're reading it, and then they can discuss it. And what we've found is sometimes these topics, especially more intricate ones, like you, and my teens never wanted to talk about something if I just brought it up, some kind of controversial topic or something. But through a story, they're suddenly more willing to talk about it through a character and how that character dealt with it and so forth. So we've heard that it's kind of been interesting and helped families to kind of interact a little bit better and to broach subjects that they wanted to, but it was always shut off. So it was kind of it. I think this, especially the fiction for teens, is a way to do that, to kind of bring you together and be able to talk about things.
That's so encouraging because I think with all the social media and the TikTok trend, people are thinking that teens aren't reading, but obviously you have found a market for your books.
Yeah, and we do hear that. So I take a lot of the whole group's books to different events, and every once in a while, people come up, "Oh, I wish my teens would read, but they don't really want to read." But sometimes they'll still buy a book, and then and we're surprised their teens enjoyed it. But for school, they do still, some schools they do have to still read. So it's like, for book reports and whatever. So it's kind of nice to have some options. And some of our books are an audio form, and we're trying to get a few more of them that way, because that is another way teens kind of are on their phones and gadgets all the time, that is a way that they can relate to the stories. But we do have a lot of teens that really just love to read. That's still a form of entertainment for quite a few, which is really, yeah, you d hear that it's not so. So when you see it, it makes you really happy that a lot of people are still reading.
Yes, definitely. And do you ever get responses from your readers and from your fans?
Yeah, I wish I would get more, I guess, but because I do hear someone will like send out a message from my website, what parents sometimes do, or teens. One event that I've been going to for a couple years is in Wichita. It's a Catholic family event. And so this past summer, it was probably my fifth or sixth time that I went there and sold books for Catholic teen books. And it was amazing how, over the years you start to get to know these people a little bit. They keep coming, "Oh, I read that book. Now can you find me something and, something else to read?" And it's just been so fun because, yeah, the parents and the kids will come and tell me stories or that they enjoyed the books. And so it's just been a real blessing. It's kind of funny. That's not really something I thought of too much when I started writing. You're just kind of wanting to get your story out there. But that interaction with the t with readers is amazing. And one so in this book, I had before as I was writing, so it's a third book in the series. When the second book came out, I knew I had to write the third one. I was under obligation with my publisher, but I had some rough ideas, but I didn't really know mainly the character's main character's name. So when the second book came out, I asked readers, as a part of the giveaway, if they wanted to get the second book, said, "Leave a note and if you have a great character name for me." And so I was amazed how many responses I got. And I was able to use one of the names that somebody offered, and I loved it and it worked perfectly. So I do try to keep interaction with readers, whether Instagram sometimes is nice. If they like something, you can comment to them. And so it's just like the one kind of drawback, I guess, with writing such a specific genre is that the teens grow up and then they move on. But you get new ones. So, my fan base, I think adults read my books too, so it doesn't necessarily always go away, but sometimes they kind of age out, and so it's kind of a bummer, but you're always looking for the new ones.
Yeah, I know that with our youth outreach at the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, I've now been here, I believe now this is going to be my third generation because we started out with the millennials. We called them Generation Y at that time. And then we moved on to Generation Z. And now you have the Alpha generation. So you just see the progression and you see where each generation is different. And I'm sure that you need to speak to them in a little bit of a different fashion.
That is very true. When I was first started writing, the idea for my very first book, The Perfect Blindside, that was in 2009, and my kids were teens themselves. So it was, at first I wasn't sure how to write for teens, but I kept watching my teens and their friends interacting and how they, would word things and say things. But over the years, that has totally changed. You're right. So, and of course, I try to stay away from anything that's too, sets it in a certain stage of life, or age period. But it is amazing how different things change. In fact, on the Perfect Blind Side, it's actually been out of paperback print for almost a year, sadly. The ebook is still available, but that was my first book and probably my bestseller book. But the reason it was out of print is they went back through it and they realized there's a scene in it with a cell phone. Well, when I wrote it, it was like a flip phone. So they're like, "Oh, we need to, change a couple scenes." And so yeah, I try to stay away from too much technology and so forth. But yeah, with teens, you kind of need to add some of it. But it's amazing how things change so quickly in society, isn't it?
It is. You're listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. We are speaking today with author Leslie Wahl. Leslie, what major challenges do you face as a writer?
Well, honestly, the hardest thing I find, and actually seems to be a common theme of my author friends is reaching the audience and marketing. Like, you have, I think social media helped a lot in some ways. And it was is a way to reach a lot more people. But some people are, kind of pulling away from social media. And now I'm sure you've seen, like, especially on Facebook and Instagram, you only are seeing, you're seeing paid ads now instead of so many of the people you follow. So I think it's always a challenge to be searching and finding the audience is, I guess, what I struggle the most with. And that is actually one of the reasons that I started the Catholic Teen Books Group, so we can help each other market. Because, since we're writing specifically for Catholic teens, of course we want our books to be read, but it's more for the teens. It's a ministry to bring the faith to the teens. So if we help each other market, not only does it help us, but it's helping the Catholic community to find wonderful books. And so we have 15 authors on our site, and just so many genres and age from middle grade all the way through college age. So there's something for people to find. But I think that's really been nice as a coalition to work together. That's helped so much. And it gives families one place to find a lot of great fiction. Because it is, that's in fact why how I began my writing career. I was searching for books for my kids way back when, and it was so hard to be finding them. It didn't, it was the internet was around, of course, but it was just hard to like find things. It's gotten easier, but now, even now, you try to Google Catholic fiction and not a whole lot comes up. So that's why we put all our books together so that there's a place where there's so many choices for families to discover.
And you alluded to this, people might be surprised at the genres that are available to Catholic teens today. I mean, it's not just a cookie cutter, it's not just one kind of book. There are so many varieties from which to choose.
Yeah, so like mine are contemporary adventures, mysteries, but we have historic fiction for middle grade. Tony Colink, it's a great middle grade one. We have some older teen historic romance fiction, which are nice, like Amanda Lauer writes. Corinna Turner has, she is, her mind is just very unique. I think she writes so many amazing, like futuristic and dystopian stories, and the whole world she creates are just like amazing. So she has a whole series with when like a Jurassic World type of thing, when dinosaurs are back living on Earth, but it's very Catholic themed, so it's interesting. We have a couple saint stories that Susan Peake writes that were the it takes the facts of the saint's life but puts them in an adventure, which are just so really so interesting. We even have a sci-fi one now. Marie Kaiser has one that's set in outer space. So we have just so many different kinds of books, which I just love that. And that's, people want different variety. Not everybody wants the same kind of thing. And of course we have parental guidelines too, because obviously what a middle grade reader should be reading is totally different than, a 20-year-old. And we have the whole gamut of books. So we have guidelines in there with specific themes, but also what's could be inappropriate for different ages and so forth. Oh, and we also have, which I chatted with you before about, is we have these anthology collections. So we have an anthology is a short story collection. So like six, seven, eight of us will get together and we'll write a short story on a theme. So our last one was Shadows, which was the All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day. Those holidays there, we've had one with all with St. Patrick relics. We have one, a Lent one, which is a good one for now. It's almost Lent time, and that one's called Ashes. So it gives a great way for people to try out different authors and their styles, but also like some kids, big novels, they don't have time for it, or they not wanting that. So these are shorter stories. So those have been really popular too. So, and it's so fun because we started out, trying to help each other market, but we've just become very good friends too. We're all across the country. So few of us have met in person here and there, but it's just been such a blessing and something I never would have even thought of or expected, as my writing career took off. But that has been just such a joy to meet all these other authors.
Indeed. Now, what advice would you have for a young person considering writing as a career or hobby?
I do get quite a few young people coming up, or their parents coming up and telling me that their child likes to read. And sometimes they have sent me some stories to look at. That is not my gift of is guiding people, but that is what I think people really need. And so I kind of tell them to try to find that. And usually a parent is not the best guide for them, because parents, as parents, we love what our kids read or write or create, we're supportive. But you really need somebody who has a bit of more of a critical eye and can give real constructive criticism and suggestions. It doesn't have to be criticism, but for instance, when I first wrote The Perfect Blindside, I knew it was rough. And so I found a mentor through a writing organization in Colorado, and she was just so good. She's like, this is an interesting story, but it's completely sounds like a mom trying to write as a teen. So you gotta find the teen voice. So, little things like that. And she'd send me to places to kind of read up on how to do some of these things, or how to construct the story a bit. And so those are the things that, it's wonderful, and you need those to be able to grow. And sometimes if it's someone who's too close to us, even if they try to suggest those, then it comes off, in a different way. So a teacher, sometimes libraries have really good resources on that. Actually, the Catholic Writers Guild has been trying to get some younger writer information out there in groups together. I think, yeah, so there's a few things and nowadays you can Google some of these. And in fact, I know there's a few Catholic ones. Fiction legend or legend fiction, something like that, has ones for younger writers. But it's such a joy to see that people are using those gifts, because we all have gifts and talents from God. In fact, that's one of the themes of my first book, is how to use those. And sometimes it seems like it's so obvious, oh, that person's such a great singer or whatever. But we all have gifts and talents, and it's just finding what that is and figuring a way to use that to praise God.
What are the benefits of reading fiction?
I think it's just the creativity that comes to me. Is always a blessing. And you're kind of getting out of your world and your problems and yourself, and kind of exploring others. Growing up, because mysteries have always been my favorite, that was always just my favorite. They were just fun trying to figure it out. But as I've gotten older, historic fiction has been really wonderful. And I've been learning so much about different aspects of history. And I just find that fascinating. So I don't, and I'm in a couple book clubs I'm in, that, and every book we choose, I feel like I've learned something new. And not only sometimes it's, something new for a writing style or something, but other things it's like, oh, I had no idea that, this was a situation that people had dealt with or something. So I just feel like it kind of broadens who you are. And I found it such a good way, especially with book clubs or just with chatting with family members, if we read the same book, connecting with people and, on a different level, and having these interesting conversations that bring up other topics.
Tremendous. And what do you hope readers come away with from your latest release?
I hope that they, like I said, the strong family ties of it, and how important our families are, and that we should not take them for granted. And also that I will butcher the verse, but in Esther, where they talk about, you were kind of made for a time such as this. I've always loved that, and it comes up in this story that, this character feels like she's had such this horrible situation happen, but when she steps back, it's like, well, maybe this was, maybe, not that it had to happen, but now that it has, you're able to deal with it, and you can help other people. Because you experienced the situation. So I think it's kind of something interesting to think about, because we all are placed here for a certain time and for a certain reason. It's like, how can we make the most of that, and what do we do with that?
Excellent. And we've got just about a minute and a half left, and I'm wondering if you can tell people how to find out more about you and your work.
Yeah, so the best two places are my website, lesliewall.com, and my name will probably be in the show notes or something because it is spelled a little different, or catholicteenbooks.com. There's a link to me there, so you can always find my things there. And one little fun fact I forgot to mention was the other personal aspect that I always put into my books is I usually add one of our pets. So this book has my daughter's dog, Zuri, and I keep hearing people say that she kind of stole the story. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, people love stories about dogs. I can say that for sure. So we'll be looking forward to that. Leslie Wahl, it's been an honor and a privilege to speak with you today on Lifelines Radio.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your support of Catholic fiction, and it's just such a joy to chat with you.
We've been speaking with Leslie Wahl, an author and educator. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, the largest single-issue pro-life organization in the Keystone State. We shed a spotlight on life from the most vulnerable places. And remember, always, there is always a reason to choose life. Thanks for joining us today. Take care. Bye-bye.